This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Notice in this ayah, he says something, and I hope you picked it up. He said, almost all the mufassirin, that what he said, make mention of singing the musical instruments in regards to this, as the voice of shaitan. So, clearly the audience when he's talking is left with the idea that this means music and singing, according to all the mufassirin. That's what I would get from what he's saying, is that right? But it's not true. I'll show you why it's not true. There's about five ayahs we're going to analyze, and this is the first of them. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as he said, and he recited it beautifully, as he got a beautiful recitation, hasn't he? وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجْلِكَ وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. So, وَاسْتَفْزِزْ, incite, agitate them, استفزاز, excite them, yeah? As much as you're able to, مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ, those you are able to excite and incite, be something with your voice. So if I looked at a number of tafsir, and if we go first, for example, to tafsir of Qurtubi, he says be something. He says وَصَوْتُهُ كُلَّ دَاءٍ يَدْعُو إِلَى مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. His salt, the voice of shaitan, is all that. وَصَوْتُهُ كُلَّ دَاءٍ, every person who calls to disobedience to Allah is his salt. And he says, قُرْتُبِي, قِيل بِوَسْوَتِكْ, and it is said by his waswasa. Because that comes in the Quran, isn't it? أَلَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. One who whispers in the hearts of human beings. And he mentions Al-Qurtubi that Mujahid ibn Abbas, although this report is weak by the way, as an author, they said Al-Ghina wal-Mazamir, singing and music and flutes. Imam Razi, what does he say? Bisawtik, da'ahu ila ma'siyatillah. He's calling to disobedience to Allah. That's bisawtik. He says, waqil, it is said, however, Al-Ghina, singing and play and lahu and amusement. It is said, but that's not Razi's opinion. Imam Tabari. Imam Tabari says, same as Qurtubi. Imam Tabari says, صوته كل داع دعا إلى معصيت الله. It says all who call to disobedience to Allah is the sound, is the voice of shaitan. That's what it means. And Tabari goes further, he says, he has nobody has a right, the lam yakhsus min dhalika sawtan duna sawt. Nobody has a right to specify a particular sound or a particular voice excluding other voices. Nobody can specify that. It is a general use of the word sawt of shaitan. Al-Zamakhshari, Al-Kashraf, he said, قِيل بِصَوْتِهِ بِدْعَائِهِ إِلَى الْشَرْ. Zamakhshari says that his sawt, his voice, is all calling to all that which is evil. So that's about four or five I've given you so far. None of them are saying what he just said. Fathul Qadir, this is Imam Shawkani, who mentioned earlier on, his famous tafsir from over 200 years ago. Bisautik da'iyan lahum ila ma'siyatillah. Bisautik, with your voice, meaning calling them to that which is disobedient to Allah. All calling to disobedience to Allah is the sound of shaitan. Waqil, it is said. When they say waqil, the mufassirin, they're saying others say this, but I am of this opinion. That's what they're saying. Waqil al-ghina wal-mazamir. It is said that it is singing and flutes, but his opinion is all that calling to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-baydawi bisawtik yada'a'ik ila al-fasad. You're calling to all that which is corrupt. Shaitan saying, that's your voice. Al-baghawi bisawtik. He mentions that Qatada, the Tabi'i, said, "Bidu'aik ila ma'siyatillah." You're calling to disobedience to Allah. That is the opinion of Qatada, which is actually authenticated. And Ibn Abbas says similar, "Kulla da'i ila ma'siyatillah fa huwa min jundu Iblis." And that's what Baghawi mentions, although it's weak to Ibn Abbas, but this is Baghawi's opinion. All that which is a calling to disobey Allah from Shaitan, Iblis, his army, that is insulting. Ibn Ashur, more recently in the last century, was sawt yutlaq ala kalam kathir al-waswasa fi nufusin nas. The sawt is used for all kinds of talk, Ibn Ashur is saying. In this case, he's talking about the waswasa of Shaitan. Al-Sha'rawi from Egypt, bisawtik biwaswatik. So, there's about 10 tafsir I've given you. Do any of them say what he just said? They mention it, some of them. But that's not the opinion. Majority are saying, actually, that it is the waswasa of Shaitan. And if you carry on, look at the verse. Wa'ajlib alayhim bikhaylika wa rajlik. And attack them with your cavalry and your infantry. We don't see cavalry and infantry of Shaitan attacking us, do we? This is in a metaphoric sense. Yeah? In other words, all those who are the supporters of Shaitan, all those who are calling to wrong and bad, they'll be trying to pull us in that direction. And when you're talking about Shaitan, Shaitan's sawt, his voice, you don't hear music and singing in your head, which is telling you Shaitan speaking now. It's waswasa. The Quran gives it itself. Quran also says, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. And if nazg is incitement again, a different word using the same thing. And if an incitement comes to you, مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, from Shaitan, as an incitement, as a nazg, which is waswas. So this salt is the same as nazar and the same as waswas. Okay? What do you say? A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. That a'udhu billahi you say because you feel inside that you're being pulled in a direction. Because shaitan doesn't come with horns and a trident in front of you, does he? With his military, as the Quran is describing. So it's using in a metaphoric sense, and the shaitan's voice, as nearly all mufassirin are saying, is any calling to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the soul of shaitan. cannot be limited to. However, can you include that? Yes, because it's any calling. So if a song is lewd and calling to haram, calling me to lie, calling me to take drugs, calling me to have affairs, that would be included in salt of shaitan, true or false? Then you can include it. But just per se, saying any singing of music is a salt of shaitan, not true. That's not what the Quran is saying. So this evidence is not about music and singing. Second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Luqman, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهُوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزُوًا أُولَئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And amongst human beings are those who buy lahwal hadith. Lahwal hadith. Remember the word lahu? Malahi comes from lahu. Musical instruments. Lahu means amusement. Yeah. Includes relaxation. Yeah. Includes wasting time. Lahu al hadith here is discourse just passing the time. Lahu al hadith. Lahu al hadith. It can mean any kind of talk that you're passing the time. When we socialize with each other, we don't just sit and talk about Quran and quote hadith, do we, with each other as families or friends? Do we? That is lahu al hadith. That is lahu al hadith. It's pastime and we're just chatting with each other. Now, here, you have to understand what follows. Look what it says. Liyudilla. The key in this verse is liyudilla ansabil. It's how it's being used, the issue. Not lahu al hadith is the problem. What is it saying? To deviate from the path of Allah. Bi ghayri ilmin, without knowledge. Wa yattakhidha huzuwa. And that person who's using this, these words, to deviate people from the path of Allah, they take the path of Allah as a jest and a mockery. What kind of people are those? Disbelievers and munafiqs. Yeah? So the key is this part, to deviate other people from the path of Allah and making a mockery of the path of Allah. Yeah, taking it, huzwa means mockery of sabilillah, of the path of Allah. Ulaika lahum adhabun muheen. No wonder such a severe punishment. Yeah. For such people will be a shameful punishment. For what? For using lahu al hadith? No. Liyudilla an sabilillah. You follow me? The verse has to be understood fully. You don't just take little words out and try and come to a conclusion. The verse is saying something. Now, some said again, lahu al hadith. Lahu al hadith, because it's using the word hadith here, has to be to do with words. Some tried to say drums and flutes. It's impossible. It doesn't fit with Arabic language for lahu al hadith. Just lahu on its own you may get away with, but not lahu al hadith, because this is leisurely or pastime talk. It is talk. It can fit with singing. It can fit with singing, but it is not limited to singing, because it has to be taken in its general open meaning. Imam Tabari said the same thing with this. For those who said it is ghina, he said you cannot specify the armed general meaning of the words of the Quran from the comment of anybody else except Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the Messenger of Allah specified this means specifically singing, then we take that specification. Otherwise, we're not allowed to specify. We must take the general meaning. Now, in lahu, Ibn Faris, who's a great classical scholar of language, in his dictionary of explaining the words, Miqyas al-Lugha, he says, Allahu kulla shay shaghalak an shay. Everything which keeps you busy from other things. It's basically lahu as I described it to you. That's how they describe it there. Now, lahu al-hadith, some people have got this idea that all lahu is haram. And to describe this lahu al-hadith, therefore, just as singing or music, is also wrong. Because in order to understand, therefore, the lahu al-hadith here, and make that haram, in order to understand it, you have to see what's happening in a hadith in Rasulullah's life as well. Yes, lahu generally comes in a pastime in a negative sense. We mentioned the ayah from the beginning. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله. No, surely that the life of this world is play and amusement. Does that mean play and amusement is not allowed in Islam? You could run away with that idea. And if you're going to say this lahu al-hadith here is the problem, that is haram, and it is music and singing, you've got big problems. Because you're going to make Muslims, there's no play and there's no amusement left in their life at all. Let's see what happens here. Lahu we need to understand before we move on. As some ulama said, that lahu itself, this amusement and pastimes, has different levels. There is that which is wajib, that lahu which is mustahab, recommended, that lahu which is mubah, that lahu which is makruh, that lahu which is haram. How do we differentiate? For example, the Prophet ﷺ said, and if you have, for example, in a battle, and this is more relevant in the past time, and your cavalry or the archers are some distance away from the leader, the commander, he's going to tell the trumpets to blow so they know that he wants them to fire. Alright? Or the drum roll. Yeah? If we say it's instruments. Now, in that instant, the playing of the trumpets and the drum roll is actually wajib. Because otherwise you may lose a battle because you can't communicate. They didn't have mobile phones and all this business to communicate with each other. So that use is actually absolutely necessary. Yeah? It can become wajib in those situations. So if you're going to put instruments under lahu, right, then this is a situation where they are absolutely required. Now we have a situation also that it is reported in authentic hadith in Bukhari and al-Hakim and al-Bayhaqi that from Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha says, أنها زفت امرأة إلى رجل من الأنصار فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا عائشة ما كان معكم له فإن الأنصار يعجبهم له. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Aisha gave away in marriage a woman, but she was like the wali, by the way. A woman being a wali. Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen, in this hadith, there's many other lists, I'm not going to go into it now. But anyway, she gave a woman away in marriage to one of the Ansaris, a man from the Ansar. And the Prophet ﷺ said, oh Aisha, did you not send any lahu with her? What was a lahu? Music and singing. He used the word lahu. He's asking her, didn't you bother sending any lahu in singing and music with her for the wedding? Because he says, فَإِنَّ الْأَنْصَارُ يُعْجِبُهُمَ اللَّهُ. Because surely the Ansar, they love lahu. They love music and singing. Why would the Prophet ﷺ be encouraging lahu if it is haram from this area? It can't be, because he wouldn't be saying lahu here if you were trying to make it haram from this area. You cannot understand this ayah without taking that into context, the hadith in Bukhari and Al-Hakim, which the Prophet ﷺ encouraging lahu. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, which is in Ahmad al-Nasa'i, which is a sound hadith, and he says, فَصْلُ مَا بَيْنَ الْحَلَالُ وَالْحَرَامُ الدُّفْ وَالصَّوْتُ فِي النِّكَاحِ. The difference between haram and halal, meaning the difference between sexual relationship which is haram and sexual relationship which is halal, nikah, is the drums and the singing. This is authentic. This is authentic. And majority certainly accept it for the singing. Some have problems and try limit it to the duff, the drums. But duff is ma'azif, musical instrument, isn't it? Prophet ﷺ actually encouraging it. Again, this fits with the other hadith of Aisha I just mentioned to you. Did you not take any music and singing? Because the Ansar loved this. Yeah. So here, the difference. So, keeping that in mind, this you see, therefore, lahu, where lahu is mustahab. Singing and music is recommended here by the Prophet ﷺ. He's encouraging it, isn't he? He's not just saying, yeah, it's all right, it's going on. He's actually saying, did you not? And the difference between haram relation halal is the playing of the instruments and the singing. So, here, in this ayah, the issue is not the lahu al-hadith. The issue is what it's being used for. Some said a report about Nadr ibn al-Harith, which is not an authentic report, but many use it, that was Nadr ibn al-Harith, one of the leading mushrikeen. He used to buy singing girls and musical instruments and make them play to deviate the believers from their seriousness in Islam and their teachings and their salah, so they'll be preoccupied with this. Although this story is not true, but you can see, even if it's weak, the meaning is there in the verse. What is the purpose of the singing girls? Whereas you've got singing here and instruments for marriage, which the Prophet ﷺ recommending. Here, the singing and instruments is being used for an evil purpose. لِيُدِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Yes? So it's not the thing that's the problem, it's what you're using it for. That's what the Quranic verse is saying. So all lahu al-hadith, yeah, that can mean, again, as they said, Imam Tabari said, again, that it is general use of speech. It cannot be limited. If that speech is used to call to shirk, to call to ma'siyatillah, to disobedience to Allah, all of that will come under this category. The general application. The key, لِيُدِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَ هُزُوًا, and taking religion as a mockery. Ibn Hazm used this argument, as did Shawkani, as did others. But Ibn Hazm uses this argument, he doesn't like it, as some others didn't like it. He says, no, Ibn Hazm is wrong. He's saying the thing itself, lahu al-hadith, is haram. He's saying if you follow Ibn Hazm's argument, then khamr, drinking alcohol, if we use that word, would only be haram if it made you drunk. Is his argument correct? No, it's not. I'll tell you why. Because actually, if you look at khamr, if khamr came with the verse, and I'll show you the verse as well in a minute, saying, and it does do that, khamr became haram not from a verse like this. So if we know the story of khamr, it is in authentic hadith, that Umar bin Khattab, and the first verse that came for khamr was Surah Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. They ask you about khamr, about alcohol, intoxicants and gambling. Say, in both of them is great sin and benefit for human beings, but the sin in both of them is greater than the benefit. Did that prohibit khamr and gambling? No, it did not. Even though sin is mentioned here, actually. Great sin. There's no sin mentioned in lahu al-hadith here, except what it's doing, what it's being done with. Now, so Umar is reported as making dua, Allahumma bayyin lana fil khamri bayanan shifa'in. Oh Allah, make clear for us in regards to khamr, Make it so crystal clear for us in regards to this, what you want from us, in other words. So next came the ayah in Surah An-Nisa, after some time. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ. O you who believe, do not come near to salah when you are drunk until you know what you are saying. This is his argument, isn't it? So this is saying, don't come near salah while you're drunk. Come when you know what you are saying, when you come out of your drunken state. Did alcohol get prohibited in this verse? No. Because what's it saying? It's just saying, don't come drunk to salah. Yeah? Don't use lahw al-hadith to deviate from the path of Allah. So that doesn't make it haram. This doesn't make haram khamar here. They carried on drinking sahaba after this, true or false? They carried on, majority of them, until the last verse came. Yeah? Which said, فَجْتَنِبُوا, stay clear from it. And وَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ, after mentioning khamar and gambling, will you not stop? And Umar said, نَحْنُ مُنْتَهُونَ, we will stop, we will stop. Now come, that's the evidence actually to forbid it. And it came clear, فَجْتَنِبُوا, you have to stop as well, stay away from it, as an order. Prohibition, you don't get that there. So Ibn Hazm is right, he's saying here, and Imam Bukhari agreed with him. Imam Bukhari also put a title in his book saying chapter, Kitab al-Istihdaa, that bab kullu lahwin batil idha shaghalahu an ta'atillah. Imam Bukhari is saying the same thing as Ibn Hazm is saying, that all lahu, pastime, batil means it's waste of time, batil are rejected, if it keeps you busy away from the obedience of Allah. Look, he put the condition, idha shaghalahu, he puts the condition of Imam Bukhari, which is what the Quran is saying. Ibn Hajar, from Fath al-Bari, who did the tashri', an explanation of Imam Bukhari's collection, he goes on to say a similar thing. Khalid Beg misquotes Ibn Hajar. His translation is not correct to Ibn Hajar, because Ibn Hajar actually agrees with what Bukhari says. Ibn Hajar says, if that thing, lahw al-hadith, whatever it is which is deviating from the obedience to Allah, is found in a text elsewhere to be haram, then it is haram. Do you agree? But that doesn't make it haram. You follow me? That evidence there in front of you doesn't make lahw al-hadith haram, together with what I've said about lahw already from the Prophet ﷺ. And you'll see many other evidences. Third. Time. وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُهُمْ عِنْدَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا مُكَاءً وَتَصْدِيَةً فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. And their salah was only, their salah only at the عند البيت is at the haram, around the Kaaba. What was their worship, their salah? What was it? It was whistling and clapping. And فَذُوقُ الْعَذَابَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. So you finish the verse, don't take it just there. It doesn't say full stop, as it didn't say in the previous verse, full stop after وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَسْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ, full stop. Here again, فَذُوقُ الْعَذَابَ, so taste the punishment for what you used to reject and disbelieve. Fucking like kuffar. And what were the kuffar doing? That's their punished for. First, they were being kuffar, they're rejecting. That's what the punishment's for. And in their rejecting, They had twisted the worship around the Kaaba, which they had in Jahiliyyah as well, and made it into clapping and whistling. Some took that and said, all right then, clapping and whistling is haram. Is that what it's saying? It doesn't say that. It's saying they made their worship into clapping and whistling. And they were disbelievers. So if I start now worshipping around and doing clapping and whistling around the Kaaba, it is haram. But clapping and whistling per se doesn't become haram because of this ayah. You follow me? Others actually said, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually saying, using the word tasweek or clapping for women, for example, in Salah, correcting the Imam, what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Clapping. And for Salah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, for the man is to give the, you know, mention the word, luqma, to the Imam. Yeah? And clapping is only for women. He used it in that context. Some said, oh, clapping's allowed, but only for women. If men clap, it's not allowed, it's haram. He said it in Salah. You can't take it out of Salah and now apply it generally. Yeah? But others who made clapping and whistling haram just from this ayah. And you see, it is out of context. You cannot come to that conclusion from an ayah like that. And linking it, therefore, with music as well. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. Here again, those who, when they witness any kind of falsehood, and when they go by lahu, lahu is like lahu, but lahu is used more to do with words, useless, vain talk. Marru kirama, and that vain talk linking with zur can mean false talk, lying, backbiting, yeah? Bad words, swearing, yeah? Those believers, they pass by it with dignity, they don't get involved in that. That's what it's talking about. Qurtubi says from Ibn Abbas, this zur is the festivals of the mushrikeen. The mushriks, their festivals, because it involves falsehood and worshipping idols and shirk. Yeah, Ibn al-Arabi, az-zur, all lies, al-kadhib wa kullu ma yarju ilayhi. Any kind of lie and falsehood is under zur. Because some try to say this zur, this falsehood, is to do with singing and music. Again, how do you specify without any evidence? You know why they specify? Because they've already got in their mind a hatred for singing and music, and they're trying to transplant it into the verse. But people of real knowledge about this issue, you'll see, even from the last verse of the Quran, you'll find that there's no evidence absolutely in the Quran about making music haram or makruh. Neither this verse either. Ibn al-Arabi, as he said, all kinds of lies comes under this falsity. He says, "Amma qawl bi annahu hina," al-Qurtubi, Ibn al-Arabi says, sorry, as far as the statement that this is singing, فَلَيْسَ يَنْتَهِ إِلَىٰ هَذَا الْحَدْ, it doesn't get limited to this. Same thing what Dobri said again before, you can't limit it by just this statement, that this is, it may be that you, again, like I said before, that you use songs with shirk and falsity and lies in it, then it will come under there. But not just per se being a song. Ibn Kathir, he says, it's shirk. It's to do with the festivals of the mushrikeen, it is to do with false witness, and lahu is to do with all that which is false. That's a bit of it. Wahidi, as Shawkani says, Al-Wahid, the famous great mufassir, that Al-Wahidi says, أَكْثَرُ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الزُّورْ هَا هُنَا بِمَعْنَى شِرْكٍ. The majority of Mufassireen Al-Wahdi says that Zur here, falsehood, means, has the meaning of shirk, involvement with anything to do with shirk in the statement. So the ma'na is, and Shawkani says, the ma'na is general. Its meaning is general. It means lies and falsehood. And lahu means all kinds of ma'siyah or disobedience of Allah. Okay, here, afamin, this is Surah Najm at the end of it. Afamin hadha al-hadith ta'jabun wa tadhakun wa la tabkun wa antum samidun. Some try to say, "Antum samidun," while you amuse yourself. This is his singing and music again. But even those who said singing and music, some said it, even Ibn Abbas, for example, says it. He's saying, "Huwa al-ghina kanu idha sami'u al-Qur'an taghannu wa la'ibu." When they used to hear the Quran, who's it talking about? Mushriks and disbelievers. They used to sing loudly and make a clatter and a noise. So if you want to understand Samidun, it doesn't just mean because you're amusing yourself that it's wrong. It's when they're doing it. It's talking about the Quran. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ. Are you not then amazed by this hadith, this statement, the Quran? وَتَدْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ. That you laugh rather than weep. You laugh rather than weep. Does that make laughing haram, by the way, this verse? Because you have to make it haram as well if you're going to make Samidun haram. You understand me? And that means you have to cry all the time as well. Because the contrast of laughing is that you should be crying. And you should cry every time you hear the Quran. No, it's not saying that. It's talking about those who crying because of their... They should be crying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting it in such a way, وَتَدْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ. You're laughing and mocking at it. Actually, your situation is should really make you cry because you're sinners and you're going to go to hellfire. It's not saying you should cry instead. It's not. So the believers standing listening to Surah Najm weren't all crying, by the way, were they? I can tell you they weren't from the Sahaba. But the disbelievers were making mockery of it. So the Quran wasn't saying to the believers, you start crying while they're laughing. It's using it in a rhetorical sense. So you should be ashamed of yourself, your sins, what's in store for you, you should be crying. But you're making mockery of it. And again, mockery was of antum samidun. Yeah? Which is what Ibn Abbas is saying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in this verse. This verse goes with the other verse to clarify for you. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَأَلْغَوْا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. And disbelievers are saying, don't listen to the Quran, but have the Quran. وَأَلْغَوْا فِيهِ, from لَغُو. Yeah? وَأَلْغَوْا فِيهِ means, as he's saying, either by singing or going, oh, la, 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 la. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ, so that you overcome the recital of the Quran by making lots of noise. Yeah? So if you do that by either words or singing or anything, making a loud noise with anything, even in includes musical instruments and singing, then it comes under that category. Yeah? Not the fact that amusing and samidun, musing, is haram. Amusement is haram. We get in contrast to that Prophet, therefore we have to look, did he amuse himself ever, Rasulullah? He's mentioning already, I haven't come to the hadith, he's already mentioning for wedding people that the Ansar are well known. And by the way, this statement, Ansar loving singing and and singing and musical instruments continued for a couple of centuries, by the way. They were famous, Medina and Hijaz, Medina and Mecca, were famous during the time of the Tabi'een and Tabi'at Tabi'een for places where they liked singing and music still after the time of Rasulullah. It was only after a couple of hundred years, and some scholars who were more stricter, and they had their reasons to do with culture, etc., then they had, but they still mention in the history books. Imam Zahabi mentions it, Ibn Qudama mentions it in Mughni, that the people of Medina are famous for loving music and singing. And then Ibn Qudama in Mughni mentions this hadith, which I mentioned to you earlier, from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the Ansar love. We'll stop there. These were the chronic ayah. Inshallah, we'll come back and go on to the ahadith. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله من كل ذنب.